I'm just going to make two quick points and then a call to action, as any good advocate will always do. The first point I want to make is that, and this has come up a lot in other panelists' presentations, but Zika has made a long-standing public health crisis impossible to ignore, and demonstrates the critical need of government support for sexual and reproductive health care. So I think we've heard many folks speak much more eloquently than me that the ability to decide if and when to have children is basic health care, but it's a basic human right as well. And yet it's not realized for so many women across the region, and which this outbreak is making so crystal clear. And I think, you know, within Latin America, this data is actually perfect to have up here, which, you know, the national level data isn't as bad in Latin America as it is in other parts of the world, excuse me, but inequity is enormous. And so if we look deeper into the population and see what poor women face, the gaps are enormous, and that's really where we need to focus. But again, this national level data has really hidden that a little bit. And you know, as that shows, there's an estimated 23 million women who have an unmet need for contraception. 75% of unintended pregnancies in the region are owed to this fact. I think what hasn't come up is 95% of abortions are unsafe in Latin America and account for 10% of maternal deaths, which also speak to this unmet need. The region also has some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the world. And also maternal mortality is much too high for what it should be, especially given it's a middle-income region, which is especially of concern, as Anne spoke about, but as sexual transmission create new pathways of risk for pregnant women. So they need access both to prenatal care anyway, but then that's a space to be counseling about Zika risk. So all of these factors really, you know, again, are not new issues, but Zika makes them, the impact of them so much greater. Wealthy women are always going to be able to get the health care they need. It's women who have the least access to reproductive health services, including family planning, who will bear the greatest burden in this epidemic. And again, we've heard that. So what I want to articulate, though, is that the same is going to be true in the contiguous United States as it becomes more prevalent here. Women with the least ability to plan their families, the least access to healthcare generally, will feel the outbreak, the impact of this outbreak the most. And in fact, if we look at some of the states where we're already seeing the highest number of Zika cases, Florida and Texas, both are states that have recently slashed their reproductive health programs. Texas over a series of bills over the last several years, one of which is before the Supreme Court right now, and Florida just last month defunded Planned Parenthood. So this is the opposite of what we need to be doing as we're gearing up as a nation to tackle this epidemic as it comes home. So the second point I wanted to make, and we can talk more about that in Q&A, is just as governments have just recently adopted the Sustainable Development Goals, I think we can look there for some guidance about how to address Zika. Namely, there's two elements I want to highlight. The first is goal number 5, gender equality, which the agenda recognizes is also critical to achieve every other goal in the Sustainable Development Goals, which means we need to put women and girls at the center. And I think the Zika outbreak is exactly the kind of situation that illustrates why we need to do that in all of our approach to development. If we fail to address gender equality, we will not be able to address the other issues as successfully. And the second issue that comes up within the SDGs that we should really look towards is the theme of leaving no one behind. The SDGs calls on us to address inequities in development both across countries but also within countries. And I think that's so critical to Zika, as we've been talking about, where poor women face such a deep unmet need for sexual and reproductive health and rights. And we really need to make sure our response is focused on that most vulnerable population. So, and I will wrap up my 3 minutes here. This brings me to my call to action, which is first, we need to fully fund the U.S. response to the Zika outbreak. But within that, the U.S. response must include family planning and reproductive health, along with maternal and child health support and attention to supporting families with children with microcephaly. And the president's budget request on Zika does articulate this. And as we heard Congressman Engel articulate this so well, and he was really one of the first members of Congress to speak out on this. The U.S. has limited dollars in USAID in Latin America. But to the extent that we can, we need to be investing in family planning. And critically, we must be supporting UNFPA. In the last federal budget, UNFPA was cut by 7%. It was the only women's health care program to see any slide back in that budget. So Zika underscores exactly why we have to be increasing our investments in UNFPA, not cutting them. UNFPA is uniquely able to work where the U.S. does not have programs, extending the reach of our support and building capacity of governments to tackle these kinds of situations. So as we go into this next funding cycle, that's got to be a priority for all of us. And I'll just quickly conclude by saying, you know, family planning clearly, as we've been discussing, is a critical element of the public health response and is essential to ensuring women's human rights. But informed consent and voluntarism are critical pillars of U.S. global health programs, of USAID's mission, and specifically of the family planning program. If we're not investing in family planning along with maternal and child health and other care, we're not fulfilling that mission fully to make sure that women have full reproductive decision making. So I leave us with that call to action.